When we speak about Hebrew texts and Hebrew traditions, for many people, the word Kabbalah comes to mind. Kabbalah is a wisdom. It is a collection of esoteric wisdom that has more or less been combined into three major books. And if you are a student of Kabbalah, I know you know what these books are all about, at least two of them. Two of them we hear very commonly. One of them is the ancient book of the Zohar, called the Book of Radiance. It literally translates into the Book of Radiance. The second one is called the Midrash, or the Book of Illumination. There's always been a third book. It's a mysterious third book. It has been translated very, very seldom into English. It is believed to be so mystical and such a metaphor that for many scholars, it wasn't worth the time that it took to translate and study. They said it's too symbolic. We can't use this. Well, that book is called the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, Yetzirah. It literally translates into the Book of Creation. We don't even know where this book came from. Its origins are unclear. The scholars of the Torah believe it was originally received or transcribed by Abraham, and if that's true, it dates to about the same time as the Vedas of India, almost 4,000 years ago. Well, the book itself, it's a very, very small book, only about 1,000 lines. And in those 1,000 lines, it is if an observer were watching the day that God created the universe and our world and our bodies and recording line by line what that observer saw as the creation took place. And it begins with the mystery and the power of the letters, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet itself. So what I'd like to do is let's go back and look at some of these passages. Let's explore them for ourselves and see how they might give us the clues that will help us to translate this message in ourselves. So I'm going to begin by reading a verse, very first verse, from the very first chapter in the book of the Sefer Yetzirah, and it simply says that God created the universe with three books. Now here it's not saying who God is, or where God comes from, or how we perceive God. It simply says there's a force out there, and if you'd like to use another word that you're more comfortable with, if the word God has a religious connotation, from my perspective, what we're doing is not religious. It is deeply spiritual in the sense that it unifies and unites all life. But the religion and the rules, the doctrine and the dogma that may surround that, to me, this transcends. This information existed long before those religions ever came along. So if you'd like to put another word in there, feel free to do that so that you you may gain the essence of the wisdom of what these texts are saying to us. I'm going to honor the text. I'm going to read directly as they were translated. And God created the universe with three books, is what the Sefer Yetzirah says. He created the universe with text. The word is Sefer, S-E-P-H-E-R. He created the universe with number, Sefar, S-E-P-H-A-R. And he created the universe with communication, Sipur, S-I-P-P-U-R. So with words, with numbers, and by communicating those, God created the universe, our world, and our bodies. The text goes on to say now in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, that God created our universe by engraving the letters of the Hebrew alphabet into the emptiness and the void of the nothingness that existed before our world. He engraved the letters. He carved them. He permuted them. He weighed them. He transformed them. And with them, he depicted all that was formed, all that would be formed, all that has ever been formed. The text is very, very clear about this. Everything is what it is because of these letters. Well, this makes a scientist crazy because we all know you cannot create a universe from letters unless those letters are symbols that represent something else. That's precisely where we're going with this. The text goes on to say that God chose three letters from the alphabet and he set them in what is called his great name. So from those letters of the Hebrew alphabet, three letters were chosen that became the name of God in this realm, in this universe of time and space. He set them in his great name. All that's formed, all that is spoken, emanates from that one name. So the text is very clear about this. We are what we are, according to the text, and our universe is as it is because of the effects that this name had in the emptiness of creation. So, as I was researching the book, The God Code, and I reached this point in the text, I had to ask myself, what is the name of the Creator? Before I could go any further, I had to convince myself, beyond any reasonable doubt, that the name of the Creator that I was considering and dealing with from these texts is the name that was actually intended. Let me ask you a question. If someone walks up to you and says, what is God's name? How do you answer that question? Because there are so many different interpretations of so many texts. The mystery of God's name is a lingering mystery. There is a one-letter name of God that we find in the esoteric text. There's a two-letter name. There's actually a four-letter name. There's an eight-letter name. There's a 12-letter name. And it doesn't stop there. There's a 14-letter name of God, a 22-letter name of God, a 42-letter name of God, the 72 names of God. There's even the 216-letter name of God. Which name is it? Well, the texts are very, very clear that of all those names, one name was held above all others. One name was held so sacred that even today it's never spoken in Orthodox Jewish and Hebrew tradition. One name was held so sacred that it was actually replaced in the ancient text 6,800 times. In the Torah, the original name was taken out and another name was put in there to preserve the sacredness and the sanctity of that one name. That name was so powerful, it was actually used in the ancient Masonic initiations, in the highest levels of the initiation, and that name became the foundation of an entire nation. It said that when King Solomon began building the nation of Israel, that this name was inscribed on a parchment and placed beneath the cornerstone that still stands today of the great temple on the Temple Mount. One name. What was that name? What is God's ancient name? Well, if we're to go into the texts themselves, the ancient Torah, or the first five books of the Christian Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we're told a story. If we're to believe this story is true, one of us, a man, climbed to the top of a mountain, Mount Sinai, and actually had a conversation with God where he asked precisely that question. I'll just paraphrase a little bit. Moses went to the top of Sinai. He was called. And in his conversation with God, God began to give him instructions. And he said, Moses, go down to the bottom of the mountain and share this information with your people. And Moses did probably the same thing that you would do or that I would do. He said, wait a minute. Again, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, wait a minute. If I go down and say the things that you've shared with me to these people, the first thing you're going to ask me is who sent me? Where did this information come from? So Moses said, who should I say has sent me? And the answer to that question has been the source of the controversy and the mystery that continues until this very day. Because in one portion of the Torah, God replied to that question by simply answering, I am that which I am. So for many people, I am is the name of God that they consider in their most sacred prayers. The Torah goes on, however, and in the modern translations, now I'm going to share this. This is from the translation after those 6,800 names were replaced. God goes on to say, thus you shall speak, the Lord has sent me to you. This shall be my name forever, my appellation for all eternity. So in the modern translations, the word the Lord is the name that God gave to Moses. Well, there's a huge problem with that, a huge problem. Because when you go back into the original Torah texts, nowhere, which are the basis for the Christian Old Testament as well, nowhere do the words the Lord exist. They were added later. They're an artifact. The Lord or the name or Hashem, those are the kinds of words that replaced this very powerful ancient and sacred name of God. It doesn't exist in those original texts.